Welcome to the Global Venture in Review podcast. My name is James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of our three publications, Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing, and Global Government Venturing. It gives me great pleasure to do a review of the past week's news, and we've seen some quite interesting people moves. In particular, we noticed that Mary Kay James, previously a managing director at DuPont Ventures, has joined Tyson Foods as a US-based meat processor, unveils a $150 million corporate venturing unit dubbed Tyson New Ventures. James and her team will be located in Chicago and identify opportunities in spaces of alternative proteins, food security, and internet technologies relevant to the food supply chain. Tyson New Ventures has already made its first deal, acquiring 5% plant-based protein developer Beyond Meat back in October. I'll take a quick look at the food industry, getting involved with the corporate venturing world. We've seen a number of corporations this year have launched units, including Tyson, obviously, as well as Danone, General Mills, Hain Celestial, Kellogg's. And in fact, it's about nearly a dozen or so. So there really is a lot of disruption hitting the food industry, and the incumbents are responding in a very sensible way by looking how they set up corporate venturing units. In other people news, we've seen Mike Dimolo, formerly Vice President of Strategic Business Development at Semiconductor Technology Developer Arm, has left to co-found a venture capital firm called Accelerated Digital Ventures, ADV. The move came just after Arm was acquired by SoftBank for more than $20 billion, and Mike had been running their sort of corporate venturing unit as well. So he's shifted off to an independent VC, which raised $150 million sterling, so about $188 million, in its initial close for its inaugural fund that is backed by Legal & General's Investment Group, British Business Banks and the State Investment Agency, and Woodford Investment Management. And Mike says that ADV is aiming for a £250 million close by June. So on the university side, we've seen Cambridge alumnus Roy Williamson has joined the University Venturing Fund after 20 years in the US, most recently at True North Venture Partners. So he's joined Cambridge Innovation Capital. On the fund side, mentioned SoftBank acquiring Arm a little earlier, but SoftBank is also partnered with the government of Saudi Arabia's investment arm, the PIF, or Public Investment Fund, for a $100 billion fund, which has been raised. SoftBank has hit some trouble since then, booking a $555 million loss from its Indian portfolio last month. That doesn't seem to have reduced interest in SoftBank Vision Fund, which the Internet Group CEO Masayoshi Son has said set to be oversubscribed. Zone also remains bullish on India, confirming that SoftBank will stick to its $10 billion investment goal over the next 10 years and might even exceed it some. It's also promised to invest $50 billion in the US, according to President-elect Donald Trump. So it looks like the world's biggest venture fund is going to get off the grounds. Slightly smaller scale, but still very interesting, very large for the venture scene in general, US health system Ascension's corporate venture subsidiary has closed a fourth fund at $255 million thanks to the support of 13 corporate peers. Ascension Ventures now has more than $800 million under management and is set to boost its 55-strong portfolio even further. And limited partners include Adventist Health System, Carl Foundation, Catholic Health Initiatives, Centricare Health, Children's Medical Center of Dallas, Dignity Health, Innova Health System, Intermountain Healthcare, Mercy, Novant Health, Ohio Health, and OSF Healthcare. So a lot of healthcare systems in the US. Wistron, a Taiwan-based original design manufacturer, has joined the ranks of corporate ventures with a $20 billion fund that is set up in partnership with US-based VC firm Phenox Venture Capital. Wistron hopes to help startups utilize Asian manufacturing capabilities and will focus on sectors such as virtual and augmented reality, robotics, and the Internet of Things. The fund will invest internationally, with Phenox providing access to a pipeline of American startups. Tinder, the dating app that connects users with each other once they've swiped right on each other's profile, is jumping into corporate venturing with Swipe Ventures, a unit that will be headed by Sean Rad, up until now the CEO of Tinder. Financial details are not being disclosed, but Swipe Ventures is set to focus on the dating and social media spaces. And apart from making investments, we'll also conduct M&A, mergers and acquisitions, and launch new businesses. So Sean's going to be busy. PSA, a French car maker, Peugeot, has entered Business Lab to conduct corporate venturing activities through the new unit. We've seen Bill Maris, the co-founder of GV, formerly known as Google Ventures, part of the Alphabet Corporate Venturing conglomerate has left the unit. He left the unit early in the summer and is raising a $230 million fund that will focus on the health sector. Partech has concluded its own $107 million fundraising effort for Partech Entrepreneurs 2, backed by a range of corporations including Carrefour, Edenred, Group Alma, Renault and Ingenico. On the university side, we've seen Cambridge Enterprise and Parkwall launch their fifth fund. The Tech Transfer Office for Cambridge University in the UK and Parkwall Advisors Fund Manager has launched the latest $3 million enterprise fund just 10 months after Fund 4 was opened to investors. And Allied Minds, which is a US peer of Imperial Innovations, focusing on commercialization from US universities, has sold 17 million new shares to investors, including Woodford, which contributed 19 million. On the government side, Australian government has launched a $150 million CIRO fund, originally announced a year ago, will be headed by VC investor Bill Barty, and will support spin-outs and startups from Australian research institutions. And on the government side, Ben Franklin boosts startups in Philadelphia with $6 million. State of Pennsylvania-backed investor Ben Franklin partnered with VC firm Safeguard Scientifics and insurance provider IHG to fuel healthcare innovation. On the exit side, been reasonably active actually. Some positive, some less positive news from the exits. But Mitu, the developer of an app that lets users retouch their selfies, initially targeted up to $1 billion in proceeds from an initial public offering in Hong Kong when it filed in August 2016. That target has dropped several times since, first to $800 million last month, now to $629 million, so still a pretty large sum. The company had obtained approximately $500 million in total funding from investors including corporations Sinoevo and International Data Group, IDG, but has struggled to monetize its offering and in the first half of the year posted a $40.5 million loss. Sports Hero, on the other side, is taking a different approach to the stock exchange as the company prepares a reverse takeover with its shareholder Nevada Iron, an Australia-listed mineral extraction company. The size of that initial public offering is modest at $2.2 million, with Chief Executive Dinesh Bhatia saying the company is very much in the Series A round. Nevada Iron have put in $2.4 million back in May 16 for the two first revealed emerging plans. Complicated. Trivago has booked its own IPO trip. The Hung Hotel Booking Service, backed by Expedia, has priced its shares at $13 to $15 and will raise up to $492 million in its initial public offering. On the M&A side of the exit front, AbbVie is celebrating an exit thanks to Siena Biopharmaceuticals, which has acquired biotech company Creabilis for up to $150 million. Creabilis is developing therapies for inflammatory skin conditions that will be added to Siena's own pipeline. AbbVie's stake came from Abbott Biotech Ventures, the corporate venturing arm of Abbott Laboratories, which made its commitment before Abbott spun out AbbVie in 2013. Other M&A, we've seen Peru-based online movie ticket platform Cine Papaya be acquired by US counterpart Fandango for an undisclosed sum, providing an exit for Brazil-based conglomerate Movilier. And we've seen Pactor pick up 17 Media. The dating app Pactor bought a controlling stake in webcasting platform 17 Media, providing an exit to sports media company Le Sports. On the less positive side, we've seen BP, a peer-to-peer used car marketplace, appears to have collapsed after a strategic investor, reportedly SAIC Motors, S-A-I-C Motors, decided to pull out. BP had merged with a self-startup called Fair.com, but has had to let go of 180 staff, shut down its operations in California. The company had raised $149 million in equity, but most recently struggled to secure a targeted $300 million that ended up attracting only $17 million in December last year. On the government side, BPI France has also lost $20 million with the Viadio collapse. The public investment bank lost $20 million investment in Viadio after the professional search network was put into administration. Also on government side, we've seen Creo collect $25 million ahead of its planned AIM flotation on the stock exchange. The electrosurgical medical device developers listing will provide an exit for investors such as Finance Wales and UK government-backed Angel Co-Fund. Hurrah! On the university side, CTeam has materialised its acquisition. So Oerlikon has acquired Cytem, a spin-out of Magdeburg, which offers additive manufacturing and rapid prototyping. Cool. Investments. we've seen GE spin out Menlo Micro with $18.7 million. Funding has been supplied by a consortium including GE Ventures, Micro Semi Corporation, Corning and Paladin Capital Group. Not a large amount, but it's very interesting to see corporate spin-outs, how their companies are becoming increasingly adept at buying in, spinning out, investing, that whole sort of slate of innovation toolkits. Lisa Stack, who led the spin-out from GE Ventures by email, said, "We've started a few companies, Infatuation Health, Vitruvian Networks, and the Stealth Diagnostics Company. We're working on a few more." So worth keeping an eye on that, actually. GE's Rowan Chapman won the sort of GCV Rising Stars Award, actually, last year for having helped work on Infatuation Health. So good on GE. They're really showing how to do this stuff. But they're not alone. VW, Volkswagen, a German car maker, has set up a new spin-out called Moya, M-O-I-A. That will focus on urban mobility solutions. On the university side, we've actually had a sort of guest comment from Dorothy Agnew, who has advice on a number of spin-outs, highlights the areas that people should be aware of and consider the spin-outs of their own, explains the pitfalls into which promising young businesses too often fail. So worth reading Dorothy's piece in Global University Venturing for a look at that, because we're definitely seeing more activity on the spin-out side of things. On actual investments, we've seen legend-backed facial recognition company Face++ has added Foxconn to its shareholders in a $100 million seed round, so a little bit bigger. And other deals are in decline order. We've seen Juhay, a JD.com-backed data analytics provider, has raised $52 million in its Series C round to support research and development, client support, and expansion of the supply network. Finicity aggregates $42 million in its Series B round, which Experian has led. And Finicity will use the cash to hire engineers, support staff, and accelerate development of additional features. SnapLogic, meanwhile, has added $40 million in its Series F round to its coffers just a year after Microsoft took part in a $37.5 million Series E round. A company which connects cloud-based and local applications to make them available through a unified interface has now collected more than $136 million in total. And the latest cash will support the expansion of SnapLogic's sales, marketing, and customer service activities. Meanwhile, Kimi doesn't look like it's having any trouble securing cash. The digital locksmith technology development, which lets users scan their keys and upload them to the cloud to print copies at kiosk, has added $25 million in funding. The previous round, a $50 million Series C, featured Comcast Ventures and 7-Eleven, happened in September. Two corporations had also supported a $20 million Series B round in January, while 7-Eleven took part in a $7.8 million Series A round in 2014. Though Kimi is expanding aggressively, given that's fundraising, its latest goal, if it's stored in 3,000 kiosks, it's actually slightly down from September's target, 3,500. So, a bit more realism there. And 3M's portfolio company, Impel Neuropharma, has signed up investors for a $36 million Series C round, for which it has obtained an initial $21 million, and received the remainder upon reaching certain milestones. The move is intriguing, especially since 3M participated in a $12 million B round, for which Impel only secured $4 million. And also, given that 3M has really focused much more on technology, things like post-it notes, stuff like that, to go into neuropharma seems a bit of a shift, so it'd be one to watch on that side of things. And on the government side, we've seen Lumos Global glow with a record $90 million fundraising. US Development Finance Institution, OPIC, has provided $50 million in loans for the off-grid solar power company, which has raised the industry's largest ever round. So, interesting one to see. So, a lot of activity as we go towards the end of the calendar year. Thanks to everyone for that, and in particular, thanks to Thierry Hellis and Nicole Lee for covering so much of the news this past week. Thanks very much.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.